How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. Kyle Madsen is donating his time to shaving reindeers in the North Pole.
He's doing a whole lot of North Pole work today. He's with the elves right now. He's
got to get them, you know, the horns all shined up and making sure that I'm surprised I did not get a flag right there.
We'll let you play on right there.
He's up there.
But no, we got it right here. That's a flag. You called it right. That's a flag.
He's up there doing God's work. That's what he's doing. Or at least Santa's work. And he won't be here on Monday as well. But yeah,
it's a long weekend.
But Jesse's here. And we're the insiders, whether Kyle's here or not. And we're brought to you by Jiffy Lube. And you know what we do? We have a code word. Let me see. The code word for today, if you're not here all the time, anytime we have a Kings game, win or lose, we give out a code word. You go to ESPN1320.com. There's a the giant Jiffy Lube thing right there on the page. Click that, and you're entering to win a $50 gift certificate from Jiffy Lube and, of course, one of our new Insider sweatshirts that are brought to you by Jiffy Lube, which are incredible. We give away one every Friday, and to be honest with you, I don't know who won last week. I don't usually get in on all that. It's usually Kyle and Jackie from Promotions.
Shout out Promotions.
They work out that, and Promotions has been amazing. They've had so much work lately, and so our code word for today is STREAK. STREAK, STREAK. The Kings won three in a row. And for me, that's huge. So it's the Jiffy Lube teamwork play of the day is STREAK. Make sure you drop by your local Jiffy Lube. Of course, they're open at 7:30 every morning, Monday through Saturday. Look at the weather outside. The weather outside is horrible. You want to make sure that your car is ready for the holiday driving season. Have them check your headlights. Have them check your windshield wipers. Have them rotate your tires and have them check your battery. If your battery of your car is just a little slow to turn over in the morning, as the weather gets colder and colder here, that's just a sign that your battery is going bad and you need to go in and get a new battery so they can take care of all of that. Go to JiffyLube.com. They have a $33 off coupon right now for a synthetic oil change. All good stuff from our friends over at Jiffy Lube. Jesse, let's get into this 49ers debacle, because that's what this season has been. It's been
been bad from the start, James. Like, literally from training camp to up until yesterday.
You know what? You
TBD for the rest.
You bring that up, right? It's training camp. That's when it started. When Christian McCaffrey started to not be available at training camp, it was like, uh-oh. And then Elijah Mitchell gets hurt, and he's done for the year.
I completely forgot about that.
Forgot about him, right? And you're sitting there, okay, like, what exactly is going to happen here?
Meanwhile, while that's happening, you're still trying to figure out whether or not Brandon Ayuk is playing football for your team or someone else's team.
Exactly, and you also have the Trent Williams situation, which you're confused whether Trent's going to be back or not. Probably not confused all that much, but knowing that you're going to have to shell out a bunch of money to him. And then right before the season starts, Ricky Pearsall gets shot.
Which was just bizarre when you read the tweet, and just another thing in a bizarre season.
It
was kind of one of those things like this has to be a joke or somewhat like whatever. Like it was just unbelievable.
Exactly. And then the whole time you're waiting for Hufanga to come back, and he gets he comes back for like 2 weeks and then is gone again. Dre Greenlaw's out for, you know, almost the entire season. Brandon Ayuk blows out his ACL. And you're still sitting there wondering, when is Christian McCaffrey coming back?
Well, that's the thing. We get to week one. Hey, Christian's not back. Maybe he'll be back next week. We're not going to put him on IR. Hey, maybe we're going to put him on IR. Christian McCaffrey's on IR.
The whole thing
was
weird.
That's exactly how it went down, it felt like.
Yeah, it was totally weird. And the whole time you're seeing this whole thing unfold, and it's chaos, and it doesn't feel right the entire time. And then, on top of that, tragedy starts happening to this team.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I don't want to dive into it, but Chivarius Ward lost his one-year-old. And then Trent Williams' wife has not one but two twins who pass, like, you know, just absolutely horrific things happening to some of your leaders of this team.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that stands out when a leader is going through pain, and it, like, the whole team goes through pain. And that's not to say that someone who's, like, at the bottom of the roster, if they're going through something, but it does, when somebody that you're relying on to shoulder the load of leadership.
Trent Williams probably has, like, a lot of impact on people in that locker room.
He has a tremendous amount of impact. He has a huge amount of impact on everyone around him and in the world in general. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a gigantic man, but he's also, like, he's one of those dudes. Like, he's a guy who is a warrior. And when you see them go through these things, it's just, it's gut-wrenching. And so this team felt like they were off the whole year, right? And it was like an accumulation of things. And
well, it's like the little things, like the Debo tweet, and then now we get the Vonjay Campbell sitting out, not refusing to play and all that. Like, it's just little sprinkles on top now.
Yeah, and, you know, when we were watching post-game, I don't know if you watched the Kyle Shanahan post-game stuff, he was asked very specifically about dissension, if there's dissension in the locker room. And it's like, no, we got a bad dude who needs to go.
Uh-huh.
He didn't say that, but I'm saying that. And that's what it was. He was like, no, we got one guy who decided to quit.
Yeah, they were on the same page with their answers to yesterday, no matter who spoke yesterday for the 49ers.
But I also think they were on the same page in a different way than a lot of times teams are on the same page. Like, you know how many times I've walked into a post-game press conference and you ask a player something and he says some very specific thing. You know, we lost tonight because we didn't close out on our three-point shooting or whatever. Like very specific. And then the coach comes out and starts giving you the stats for that exact thing that the player, he says what the player says, and then he starts giving you the stats, and you instantly know that the conversation in the locker room was about that one thing. And everyone's going to be on the same page. We're all going to talk about it because that's why we lost tonight's game.
Yeah.
Right? Last night, I thought it was authentic. I did not think anyone pre-scripted what they were going to talk about when it came to Campbell. It was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I don't think any of it was like, oh, PR stuff or anything like that. They were all on the same page, all said the same things.
No, all of them wanted to yell and scream and say, I don't ever want to see that guy ever again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, straight up, that's where a lot of people were. We've seen this in the NBA.
Marvin Bagley refused to come in one time, didn't he?
Oh, no, that's very true. Marvin Bagley refused to go in the third quarter. I forgot.
Who was that against? Was it the Suns?
I can't remember, but that
probably makes
sense. I always
remember the story gets told, I think they were giving away Marvin Bagley jerseys that day.
Well, he refused to, okay.
Tell the story, James. Story time.
So, my good friend Sean Cunningham from Fox 40.
Yeah, shout out Sean.
We have this thing that we do. There's a couple of rituals that Sean have and I have. So coming out of halftime every single day, we get back to our seats, and then they play the tsunami song, and we look at each other and we go, tsunami. And it's a play because Dave Yeager did that to Sean one time, where he looked at Sean and says, tsunami, as the song, you know, hits that point. So we do that, and then we have this thing that, like, anytime you see them giving away an autographed jersey in the second deck, we look at each other like, oh, like, are they about to get traded?
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to get rid of somebody's jersey. So you're right. Marvin Bagley decided not to come out on the floor, but as I think it's coming out of a timeout, and during the timeout, they're giving away a Marvin Bagley autographed jersey in the upper deck. And it was almost like, man, you're just trying to get rid of my jerseys that you have in stock. And so Sean and I were laughing about it, but then Marvin doesn't go in the game.
Yeah.
Like, having a player not go in a game, I know Nemanja Bjelica refused to go into a game as well at one point. That's not a good thing. That means that things have gone a little south. And
that probably just means they've gone as far south as they can go, no? At that point, like, that's your job. And you're telling them, no, I'm good.
Well, with a specific player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean.
But an overall feel, like, you should have other people like, hey, dude, you just need to leave. That's where I would be. If I had a teammate that said, no, I'm not going to go in, it'd be like, then you need to just go get dressed. Like, and don't be in a locker room when we get in there.
Because
if not, there's going to be some fighting words here. Like, whatever you're doing here, that's not okay. Like, we're here to get paid and to play a game. And even, like, if you're just there playing a game as, like, whether it's... Well,
you hear these guys talking about brotherhood and how close they are and the whole team bond and all that, and you're just quitting on us now.
No, of course. Like, that's not acceptable in any world that you're in. So, I don't know that I've seen a player fully quit on a team. Like, somebody tell... Like, saying I'm not going to go into a game is a huge step towards quitting.
Yeah.
Walking off the field in the fourth quarter, taking your helmet off and walking off the field with somebody, man, that's just like, he went in, I assume, got dressed and left.
Yeah, I mean, you have to assume the last guy who did some, well, this guy took it a little extreme, but Antonio Brown quit in the middle of a game and was not seen since and all that as far as being able to play. So you figure Devontae Campbell, he didn't go as extreme as Antonio Brown did, but you did quit on your team. I don't know how another team picks him up.
But I think we all know that Antonio Brown isn't right in the head. Like, he's done...
Yeah, he's a little crazy.
He's done enough things that you're okay, man. Like, it's... You're risking your... When you sign him, you're putting that out there. Like, I'm willing to accept that that might happen. But that's not what Campbell should have been in this situation. And, like, look, I don't know if... Like, we're still waiting. Maybe it has come through. I haven't been on Twitter while we're here on the show. But I'm going to assume that he will be waived and will not be back. And I also will assume that there's a good chance he won't play again in the NFL. Because that's what... When you do that... According to Josh DeBoe, Kyle Shanahan said that the team is working through the semantics of what to do with Devondre Campbell after he refused to go in the game. We will handle the situation appropriately.
We'll probably see the tweet of him getting cut, like when they can officially do it when the week is over.
Yeah, I'm not going to be...
Probably on Tuesday it'll come out or something like that.
Yeah. I wouldn't want him back.
No chance. There's no chance you can bring him back to the locker room.
No, straight up.
Yeah.
So that's one big storyline from the game last night, but I think it overshadows like a couple other storylines. Number one, Debo has like this opportunity to set the record straight by just catching a ball and running for a touchdown, and he doesn't, and he drops a ball, and you end up scoring 6 points on the night because your what used to be a star wide receiver doesn't come through on a big play, and I thought that the Thursday night crew panning to him on the sidelines was appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was all over Twitter and social media yesterday. You want to complain and all that, that's fine. I mean, it's not the right thing to do, I don't think, but you got to make the plays when it comes down to it. And no one seeing how yesterday went, like the offense couldn't get going at all. Brock Purdy didn't play well. Debo didn't play well. Jennings had a couple of drops, I think it was. Like, no one played well or anything like that. So when you do have a moment where it's like, oh, we might be able to get some points off of something like this, and you fail, like, yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, so when I'm watching that play out, right, it's really unfortunate because Debo Samuel has been a very, very good player. He had one great season. Outside of that, he's been a very good player for mm-hmm. the 49ers. He has not been very good this season at all. Like, he's not breaking tackles.
What's tough, too, I feel like Debo's been such a beloved player with the 49ers, and now it's just kind of ending, if it does end on a sour note a bit.
Okay, but so here's where I'm at with Debo. If I'm him and I want to stay a 49er, right, and everyone hears the noise. Like, everybody, he has admitted to hearing the noise about whether, you know, this will be his last season with the 49ers or not. He's been very clear. Like, all that stuff will take care of itself down the road. But if that's who you are and you believe that this is where you want to be and what, like, the franchise that has been your only franchise as an NFL player, wouldn't you want to, like, go out on, like, the highest note? Wouldn't you want to try to convince them to pick up your contract for next year to make it so you stay a 49er? Like, in my mind, that's where I'm at. Like, if I've been here through thick and thin and I still believe that this franchise is going where it's going, I want to put my stamp on this and I want to leave on my terms.
And I mean, I'm sure Debo's going out there and, like, trying to put up numbers and all that, but, I mean, flipping that, I guess, on the other side, I guess Debo's point of view, maybe you're frustrated because you've done all this for the franchise and it's looking like they're already moving towards getting rid of you and all that.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of already writing on the wall, you know?
I think last night's game, he went from, he became that guy. And you're like, okay, man, you're the guy who talked all the trash. You're mm-hmm. the guy who threw your head coach and quarterback under the bus, whether you want to say it very specifically that this is Kyle Shanahan's fault or this
we
is
we all know
Purdy's
what that
fault.
Stuff is.
We all know what it is. You threw people under the bus, and then you went out there and you didn't perform in a moment where you had every opportunity to put your stamp on a game and potentially keep your team's playoff hopes alive, and you didn't come through. And that's it. And so you went from being like a guy who was a little noisy to a guy who was a little noisy and then dropped the ball. And
then we got the camera shot.
Yeah. And then we had the camera shot of him, like, the realization that he became that guy was sitting right there. He sat on the bench. So that's one thing that I walked away from last night's game thinking, okay, we're watching the next three games are Deebo Samuel's three remaining games as a 49er.
Gosh, that's so tough. This team never got a Super Bowl. You just missed a lot of Hall of Famers and just great players' prime windows.
I don't know that this team is done and that, like, I personally believe they can come back next season and be great again, but I don't think Deebo will be part of that.
Yeah, I want to see what Trent Williams is looking like next year. He got really beat up with injuries this year and just a lot of off-the-field, like, that off-the-field family stuff he's been dealing with.
Yeah.
CMC, Christian McCaffrey, I have no clue what to expect from him next season.
No, I totally
agree.
You got
Brandon Ayuk coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah, it's not great. And you know, I think one of the great stories from last night, the strong feel-good stories from last night was Dre Greenlaw.
Uh-huh.
Steps on the field. They showed clips last night of the injury itself. And just the moment where he's jumping up and down on the sidelines and him and Fred Warner go to run on the field and he goes down screaming.
That was one of the most, like, one of the more sadder images, I think, in, I don't want to be overdramatic, but recent sports history.
You know,
the fact that the dude's getting hyped up, like, if you're there in the moment and, like, you watch sports and you've played sports, like, you see him getting hyped up, ready to go run on the field in the Super Bowl, and then boom, Achilles is just blown out.
Well, that, and I also thought watching Fred Warner's reaction,
yeah,
like, in the moment.
Yeah, because you see the other guys, too, and all that.
Oh, my gosh, that was so hard to watch. Uh-huh. I mean, he just, like, he turns around and is like, oh, no, like, rips off his helmet. So, for me, watching those two play last night was like, okay, first of all, you held the Rams to 12 points. That was incredible. Like, what they did defensively was incredible. And it reminds you of why Fred Warner and of course, Dre Greenlaw are so good together.
Yeah, why they're one of the best linebacker duos in the game.
And probably one of the best linebacker duos ever. Mm. Like, it's one of those duos that they're so incredibly good together. We're talking about two top, five or six linebackers in the NFL. And you're seeing a guy come back from injury, and you hope that, you know, again, the next 3 weeks will mean nothing for the 49ers. They're out of it. But to allow him to gain some value again and show people that he can play. But the whole time you're thinking, man, I would really, really like to see Dre Greenlaw back on this team next year.
Yeah, if he's up to speed and ready to go, I don't see why not. I don't think, coming off a torn Achilles, I don't think other teams around the league are going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to pay Dre Greenlaw like this absurd amount of money to come be our starting linebacker.
No, like, you're probably right.
Like, I feel like teams will look at that and be like, like, we'll bring you in, but it's going to be at our price. And I think that benefits the 49ers.
Well, I know, I would agree with you there that it benefits the 49ers, and there's a possibility that he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching, you know, sort of the way he was playing, and yesterday we had this conversation about, oh, he may or may not play. Kyle wasn't sure. And Kyle has, you know, covered the 49ers for Niners Wire forever, right? And he was under the impression that, like, if he does play, he's going to play, like, 10 or 15 snaps or something, that he would be the Sam linebacker,
yeah.
Right? We talked about it. Dre Greenlaw had 8 tackles last night. I think 3 solos, 8 total tackles. He was a monster. He showed you exactly who. Was he perfect? No. But he showed you exactly the player that you're missing and why it is that you lost games early in the season because he wasn't there and because Devondre Campbell was.
Yeah.
And so I'm really hoping that we get to see a little bit more of Dre Greenlaw in a Niners uniform. I hope we get to see more of him over the next, like, 3 or 4 years, like, as, you know, with him and Fred Warner, because I also think the duo, Fred Warner was incredible last night.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't seen that Fred Warner for a while. And, you know, the whole broken ankle thing, the broken bone in his ankle, like, that's one thing. But to watch him go out there and look like the Fred Warner that was one of the most impactful players in the league, like, the first 3 weeks of the season. And we were talking about him as, like, potential defensive player of the year. He just wasn't that impactful the rest of the season. And to see him with Greenlaw, I was like, oh, there he is. So I thought that was big.
And now we move forward.
And now we look. We talk about the other thing we don't want to talk about.
You ready to give Brock Purdy $60 million, James?
I'm not. I'm ready to pay him, but I'm not ready to give him 60.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah.
I hear, like, we talked about on Dillon Casey yesterday, like, oh, well, Dak Prescott gets $60 million. That's fine. That's their mistake.
It is.
Like, Dak, like, we all knew before he signed it and after he signed it, like, that is not, that's not, that doesn't make any, not, doesn't make any sense because, like, quarterback did pay all his money, but that's just not going to be a good deal.
Yeah. I think it's difficult to judge Purdy 100% on what happened last night. I think, you know, again, you have reasons why, you know, Brandon Ayuk is there, not there. Christian McCaffrey's not there. Uh-huh. Trent Williams wasn't there, right? So you have reasons why Brock Purdy had some poor throws. But at the same time, he had poor throws when he had an open lane.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was a play that he hit Ricky Pearsall in, I think, in the fourth quarter, where the pocket was collapsing. He stepped through, fired a ball over the middle right to Pearsall for a really nice play. And it's like, okay, that's a player that I want to see. But the overthrow down the sidelines to Juwan Jennings ends up being the pick that ends the game effectively. Uh-huh. The underthrow to George Kittle down the left sideline, that was huge and was like, oh, come on, man. That's a touchdown. If you put that ball where it's supposed to be, it's a touchdown. I was left thinking, I still want Brock Purdy as a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, that didn't change. Like, that hasn't changed for me at all. I think Brock Purdy's franchise, he's a great quarterback, all that. But he's just not. He's not $60 million per year.
No, he's not $60 million a year.
Looking at the quarterback salaries right now, like Joe Burrow is 55 per year. Dak, of course, is one at 60. Then there's mm-hmm. Joe Burrow at 55, Jordan Love at 55, and Trevor Lawrence at 55. Tua's at 53, Jared Goff is at 53, and then Herbert is at 52.5. I think that's kind of where he falls. Not the 52.5, but just 55 to 53 mil per year, I think.
Okay, so I'm okay at 50. I feel a lot more comfortable at the next tier, which you talked about, which is like the Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray's at 46.1, Kirk Cousins is 45, and then you got Jalen Hurts at 51. That's kind of the three right there.
Okay. Yeah, I would feel a lot more comfortable if you were able to land Purdy between 45 and 50.
I think that's going to be tougher. I think that's where Brock's like, all right, well, I'll just take this to some other team because I think he can get 55 somewhere else. I think if him and the 49ers came to the negotiating table and he's like, I want 60, the Niners are like, yeah, no chance. I don't think he's getting 60 anywhere else, but I think he could get 55 to 50.
Okay.
I think that's where you got to pay him.
I'm intrigued. I still think, like, if you could get him 45, 50, put him in the range of some of these other quarterbacks that he, to be honest with, he's in the bucket of those players and that you hope that he can improve and, you know, put some incentives in there, whatever it might be. But for me, he's had opportunities to be great this season and he has not been able to seize on those opportunities.
Yeah, he's just not the caliber of quarterback of Josh Allen, Lamar, Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes, which is more than fine because those guys are just out of this world alien type players or whatever. Like you said, he's a great quarterback and all that, but he's just not that. And Alfonso in the chat brings up a point, which he's not wrong. Like, but that's if that's the cost of a franchise quarterback today, then that's what you got to pay. Dak Prescott is honestly the only one who really topped the other guys. Like, everyone else is pretty much in the same spot after looking at the numbers. And we all agree Dak Prescott is, like, that was a mistake paying him that much. I guess I do understand, but I'm not for paying a guy because someone else made that mistake. Like, that much.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Money.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the problem. And if you're the 49ers who already have all of these talented players all around, you can't just sit there and throw money at it because that's what has to happen. And I know they're already working they already know what the number is that they're willing to go. Yeah. We're going to see this thing play out very quickly as soon as the playoffs start.
Because I don't think there's any instance where Brock Purdy's not the quarterback for the 49ers for the next 4 years, by
yeah,
the way.
Like, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. I just, like, I'm looking around and how do I make my team better? And one of the ways I can make my team worse is by overpaying a quarterback who has shown that he's really good when all the weapons are there, but when the weapons aren't there, he's not someone that can take you to the next. Well, he's not someone who can bring you back in a game when he's playing from behind a bunch, and that's a problem.
Yeah, he's got his limitations, but I guess at 55 is where I'd go, like 55, 56, whatever around there. But 60 is too much, I think.
That's high.
I know it's too much for you, but like I said, I think he gets that somewhere else if he goes shopping.
Maybe he gets that.
I think he does. Brock Purdy's really good, but he's just, like I said, not in that top tier.
Yep. I'm with you. I get it. I was higher on Brock coming into the season, and I'm a little disappointed about how it's played out. And I do know the weapons have been a huge issue, and I know how much Ayuk meant to him as that, like, 30-yard downfield guy that he loved to hit with those line drive throws to the, you know, to the corner. But you got to find a way to get through a season. You can't just say, hey, he's gone. My season's going to be bad. And you also, in a game where it's 12-6, actually, I think it was 9-6 when he threw the pick. Man, you got to find a way to at least tie that game.
They're going to pay you all that money. You got to figure out a way to put up more than 6 points.
Yeah, exactly.
It might not be fair. There's context to everything, but it's just what it is.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, we're going to step aside. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a minute.
Navigating these hockey pages over here is a little bit more difficult than I thought. Trying to find, like, the rejoin, whatever, for the guy's voice and all that.
Oh, gotcha.
I was just clicking through the whole time, like, where's it at? Where's it at? Where's it at?
That's hilarious. Yeah, we were just talking at the break. There's a bunch of people outside. I don't know what's happening now. Maybe this is gift giveaway?
Something going on. Yeah, they're all taking a picture right now.
Yeah, and it's right behind you. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, you guys can see. Hold on. Let me turn this way. There it is right there.
Yeah, so we've been collecting gifts for, I don't know. I don't have the read for that, but we have been collecting gifts here in the studio. And if you do want to bring unwrapped gifts for, especially for, I think it's ages 12 to 18, that is like some of the most difficult things. Like a lot of kids' gifts, little kids' yeah. gifts get brought in, but that next level of kid.
Yeah, I seen like there's some footballs and all this stuff out there too.
Yeah. So I think like we do have a lot of, this morning, all of a sudden we had a ton of gifts dropped off. So absolutely amazing. They will of course go to families who could use help during the holiday seasons. Let's see, what else? Yeah, there's always a photo shoot right behind Jesse's window.
Yeah, I'd love to be a part of one someday.
Have you ever been a part of one?
No, but I'm just kidding. That's kind of my choice too.
Yeah, you don't.
I was there at the company Christmas party.
Okay.
Yeah, that was nice. That's probably the one party I show up to a year, the Christmas one.
Okay, and you were late though. Oh no, you were there for the picture.
Yeah, I was there for the picture. I showed up about around five.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a fun night.
Yeah.
It just kept going, just so you know.
Oh yeah, I heard there was an after party and all that stuff.
Yeah. There was.
Odyssey parties get pretty lit.
Well, I think the problem is that most of the people that work here drink heavily.
Yeah, well.
Just saying.
That's my rule. I won't have a drink with coworkers.
You won't?
No, not at a work party. Like, if we go to Dame's house or whatever and we're hanging out, like, that's different. But if we're, like, at the Odyssey Christmas party, I'm going to be cool.
Oh, no. I'm here for a good party.
David says that I strategically left, like, Jim. There's that episode in The Office where Jim shows up to the boss's house for a party and like he has like his set of rules to get out. I literally live by that. I was talking to Kyle Madsen about it, like yeah. that thing. I talked to old Aaron for 10 minutes with Casey, was talking to new Aaron for a bit, shook Doug Thomas's hand, so like coworkers saw me or whatever, went to go play a game. After that, I was ready to go. We had to do the awards and stuff like that, but that's how you got to do it. Like be seen and then you can get out of there.
You are kind of strategic in your approach. Me, not so much. No. If I'm there, I'm like, okay, game on. Like, let's have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. You're more alive for the party than me. Me, I'm like, I'm trying to get home.
Outside of here, I can, like...
Yeah, no, I've hung out with James Ham. James Ham's cool.
I party a bit.
Yeah.
Especially out on the lake. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it gets down the leg. You still, what is that game you play? Crochet? What is it called?
No.
The one with the...
Not croquet. We play, bocce.
Bocce, yeah.
Yeah, bocce.
What is croquet?
Croquet is with a mallet. It's where you're trying to hit a wooden ball through like a little.
All right, that's what they play in England and stuff, I think.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
It's also like if you watch Alice in Wonderland.
Gotcha.
They're playing croquet.
Got it.
Yeah. So croquet mallet.
All right. Yeah, we don't play croquet. We play bocce over here.
Okay. So let's get to let's just kind of reset here a little bit. Sacramento Kings won 111-109 last night over the Pelicans. They snapped a 6-game losing streak to the Pelicans. They won their third straight. They moved to 500 on the season at 13-13. They're back, Jesse. They're back.
They're not back, but that's a step right there. It's a notable step.
Okay, so this is my 15th season covering the Sacramento Kings. You know how many of those seasons they were at 500 after 30 games?
Not much.
Or 26 games?
I remember that one time we did the math where they had to have this many 500 seasons for you to get back to 500 or whatever. Or this many winning seasons for you to get back to 500 as far as your record covering the team.
I think at 12 years, I was 240 games under 500.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit better now. I'm probably closer to 200 games over 500.
We're making progress slowly but surely.
Yeah, but still, like at 26 games, I'm gonna guess that there were three seasons where they were at 500.
Yeah, that's
at
tough.
that point. I mean, normally, like you know that seasons, you remember the one season where Harrison Barnes decided that he would not shave his beard until they made the playoffs. I think it was until they got to 500, and then it became until they made it to the playoffs because it was possible they could make the playoffs and not be 500.
That gets brought up routinely on the show.
Yeah, and then he did not shave the entire year, and it got a little scraggly.
You got to do what you got to do for the vibes, I guess.
I guess, yeah, it didn't work out for him.
It is, like I said it earlier, it is encouraging the fact that they are able to be 500, just given how horrible the last few weeks seemed. And like nothing is really fixed either. Like they still need to make moves. Like it's not like, oh, they're back or anything like that, but you're not really like that. You haven't set yourself like that far back yet.
I think expectations are a horrible thing, because I think that's what a lot of this, we expect them to be way better than they are.
Well, yeah, but shouldn't they like give their, they should be top six though, no?
They should be at least 5 games better than they are right now.
Yeah, like this roster should be better.
Well, I mean, and if we talk about like if 5 games better, that's 18-8. 3 games better, that's 16-10. 16-10, what are you, the 4 seed?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at. But, you know, there are a couple of good things that happened last night, and I don't want to lose sight of this because I feel like covering Domantas Sabonis is one of those things where you never, ever, ever want to lose sight of how good he is. And I know some people talk about, oh, well, he doesn't block shots, and all these things that they try to detract from when it comes to Sabonis, but when a guy can go out there and put up 32-20, and he actually had 32-21, and they took a rebound away after the game. I'm not sure why, but even like my 6 quick thoughts had 21 rebounds, and I even screenshot it. He had 21 rebounds at one point. They pulled one off the board.
And be a conspiring against Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, and they said on the broadcast last night, he's only the second player in Sacramento Kings franchise history to have multiple 30-20 games, and the other player was DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, that's crazy.
That's dominance right there. That's not where it's like, oh, he had a 20-10 game. Like that's just pure dominance where no one on the court can do anything against him.
No, I think so too. And you know, we went through some of his stats earlier, but he's shooting career highs from everywhere, and I think it's really, really wild to see a guy at like 28 years old, like fully in his prime, and he's found a way to bump his scoring number by 2 points per game. His rebound number is down a little bit. His assist number is down a little bit. But the guy is shooting 67.1% from two. He's shooting 43.9% from three, 62.8% from the field, which is, I believe, a career high. I don't even know what his true shooting number is, but I'm gonna
saw it in the chat earlier. I can go look it up. I think someone said it was like at 72%.
I'm at the advance right here. Let's see. True shooting. He's at 70.7%.
70.7.
So to put that in perspective, last year, Sabonis' true shooting number, And true shooting, if I'm not mistaken, is a combination of a measure of shooting efficiency that takes into account 2-point field goal percentage, 3-point field goals, and free throws. So last year, Domantas Sabonis was incredible, right? His true shooting number was 63.7. The year before, where he was 7th in MVP balloting, 66.8. This season, he's at 70.7. Like, that is so crazy. He's a career 61.5, including this season. That is off the charts good.
What do you think the difference has been this season? Because you bring in DeMar, and I feel like we all thought, all right, DeMar's going to take a bit of a backseat as far as like just scoring and all that. But he's just kind of elevated everything.
I think a couple of things. Number one, increased minutes for Malik Monk has helped. I also think that the draw of DeMar DeRozan and De'Aaron Fox together, like other teams are sending their best defenders that way. Uh-huh. And if you can get them away from Sabonis, it's helped him. I thought he would be the beneficiary of this. I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's going to, like, he might give up a point. Or I thought maybe he would go down to 18 points per game, but I also thought he wouldn't lose any of those 13 shot attempts per game. The fact is, he's just better.
He's kind of turned into the player that we were asking him to be, like, the last couple years, as far as, like, the scoring and aggressiveness, I feel. Like, taking the three every now and then.
No, I think so, too. I mean, the fact that he's averaging 2.4 3-point attempts per game. Again, I don't need him shooting 4-6, which is what, I think Mike said 3-5, right? The 2.4 range is pretty, like, spectacular and on par for what he should be doing. But, look, he's just one of the better players in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, his PER, player efficiency rating, is 24.6. I don't know where that ranks in the NBA, but I'm going to guess it's top five. And that's just kind of who he's become. Like, he's been, like, as far as win shares and all of that stuff, he's been a juggernaut for throughout the last couple of years. But to watch him take even a higher step is really impressive to watch. So I don't want to lose sight of that. I also, like, when we're watching that game, for me, one of the biggest things was that Keegan Murray looked like Keegan Murray.
Yeah, like, he's if I don't want to take spotlight off of Monty, like, moves need to be made, but if Keegan's able to get going, that solves a lot for this Kings team.
Well, yeah, and that's what, but I don't want to get caught in that. Like, if Keegan can be Keegan, then Monty doesn't need to make
That's what I'm saying. Like, things still need to happen even if Keegan is making it a lot easier for everyone else.
Well, that, and if Devin Carter can just come back and
yeah. Oh, James, my biggest fear is that after the trade deadline, Monty's like, yeah, we tried to make a move, it didn't happen, but we're really excited about Devin Carter coming, and like, that'll be an addition for us right there.
Oh no,
that's my biggest fear.
I do not want to hear that, because it doesn't matter, you're still lacking length and athleticism at the 3 and the 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, straight up, they're like, sure, these other players, they did step up, they got better. Like, maybe you have a better second half, but that doesn't change the fact that you have, like, a need.
Yeah, clear needs.
Clear needs all over the place. So, but the Keegan Murray step up thing, like, I don't want to, I remember, like, 3 games ago saying Keegan Murray looked like Keegan Murray in my 6 quick thoughts. I can't say that once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, no.
I even once a week, like that's not enough.
You just,
like,
got to make it consistent now.
Yeah, he has
done
to find
it for five
a way.
Games, do it for 10, do it for 15, do it for 20.
What do you make of De'Aaron Fox's numbers kind of sliding a bit here?
They don't bother me at all, honestly. De'Aaron's not going to do it for 82 games, whether we'd like him to or not. So on those days where he's not, DeMar DeRozan needs to step up, DeMontis Sabonis needs to step up, and other guys just got to get going.
Okay, I'm with that. Oh, hang on, I stole Kenny's power cord. There you go. I've just decided not to plug in my own power cord because Kenny keeps leaving his here. All right, it's for all of us. He's given back to the people. Just so people know, offensive win shares on the season, Domantas Sabonis is second to Nikola Jokic at 3.2 to 3.5. He's tied with Jalen Brunson. Overall win shares, he's third in the league at 4.3 overall win shares. And even defensive win shares, he's, like, that puts him in, he's got to be in the top 20, maybe not. But either way, like, he's been an absolute juggernaut overall. Win shares per 48, I think he's right there. Yeah, he's fifth in the NBA. We're going to welcome in Kenny Caraway. He's struggling.
I'm good now. I'm good. I'm here.
You're here?
We cooking.
All right.
Yeah. We cooking.
I'm going to move things around so I can.
Like I said, anybody watching on the stream, look, man, you see what it is, man. Still Niners. I ain't going nowhere. Like I said, Niner Gang General, KC, going down with the ship. You know what I mean?
Is that an official title?
Well, it can be. You know, nobody's ever called me that, but it can be. Niner Gang General, KC.
That's hilarious.
Going down with the ship, man. Oh, that was tough last night.
Where's Devonjay Campbell on that ship?
Yeah, let's talk about
overboard.
Guys who did not go down with the ship.
This guy's in the Mediterranean somewhere.
I'm going to get out of here before you guys go.
What are your thoughts on that situation?
That was embarrassing. That was ridiculous. I mean, that was one of the cardinal things that you learn when you begin to play sports. You know, you don't quit on your team. You know, you don't make it about yourself. And you know, the Devondre Campbell, you were talking about it in a perfectly fair manner earlier, Ham, and we kind of like left him alone because he was cool. He started to play a little better too, but we kind of left him alone, right? It was like, all right, we'll let it slide. He hasn't been good. You know, you can make the argument. You know, he's a huge reason why they lost the Rams game the first time because mm-hmm. he was getting destroyed by every running back they had. But, you know, It's cool, man. We'll leave that alone. We were keeping you off the radar. But now since you want to become the story, we can talk about how damn sorry you've been and how you've been part of the problem to why this defense hasn't been able to do anything late in games and close games out. You need a stop against the Rams. You can't get it. You need a stop against the Cardinals. You can't get it. You need a stop against the Seahawks. You can't get it. Fred Warner is out here playing with a broken ankle because they know they'd be the worst defense in the league if they left it to your devices. And you've got the nerve. When Dre Greenlaw, an all-pro, an all-time 49er, comes back from an Achilles injury, then you've got the nerve, the as Stephen A. would say, the unmitigated gall, to be upset because you're not starting when you've been a damn problem? Miss me. Is he still on the team right now?
Yes. Still.
Is he still? What are we waiting for? Maybe Kyle's waiting for. When does Kyle talk? Is it 12:30 or so? Maybe he's waiting for that. His ass should have been gone tonight.
Mm.
It's ridiculous. And I'm going to talk about it more on D-Long, Casey. It's a microcosm. That was a bit right there.
Stick around.
It's a microcosm. We'll talk more. Of what the problem has been. Jesse, what have I said since July?
Team wasn't focused on winning.
They're not focused on winning. Or I'll put it to you like this, and I said it respectfully, and I mean that. That doesn't mean they don't want to win. That means winning is not the most important thing to a lot of people in that locker room. It's just not. And we saw it with Devondre Campbell last night.
Yep.
We saw it with Deebo Samuel earlier this week. And, you know, prayers up to his family and everything like that. I'm not coming crazy. We saw it with Trent Williams when he had his holdout. We saw it with Brandon Ayuk when he had his holdout. It was a lot of different people had a number of different agendas that took priority ahead of winning. And I'm not even like I said back in July, I'm not even mad or like trying to come crazy at Brandon Ayuk or Trent Williams for wanting their money. Mm-hmm. But we have to call it what it is. You wanted your money more than you wanted to be there to get ready to win. That's just what it is. And I'm not disparaging for that, but we have to call a spade a spade, and that set the tone for what this whole season was about.
I think the tone, that's exactly it. Like, the tone was bad from the beginning. The tone in preseason, where you had no idea if Christian McCaffrey was going to play at all, where you had no idea when these players were going to sign, whether it's Trent or whether it was Brandon Ayuk. You had no idea. Mm-hmm. It just kept, and then you get to right as the season's about to start, Ricky Pearsall gets shot.
Jeez.
And it just felt like the entire buildup to the season was too much. We even brought, I brought up Elijah Mitchell, gone for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of these things happened like out of nowhere. And it just one little thing after another, and there was no way to replace all of that they lost. Right. And there certainly, when it comes to Campbell, he became part of the problem in week one, week two, week three. It was like, what is this guy doing? Mm-hmm. Like, I could not imagine leaving him on the field. And I thought, in all honesty, I kept telling Kyle that I thought Kyle Shanahan was making a mistake by allowing him to stay on the field. Because he was just, I would take anyone over him. I don't care if you're a guy who they drafted in the sixth round or you're undrafted free agent. Go out there and play next to Fred Warner and let him tell you where to go and play the game the right way. And then we see Dre Greenlaw walk on the field, and it's his monumental comeback, you know, like amazing. He's finally able to get back out there. And you instantly saw what Fred Warner looks like when he's playing alongside a legitimate player.
Yeah. It looked different.
Not a scrub. Legitimate player.
Greenlaw out there on a bionic Achilles making plays left and right in the first half.
Eight tackles.
Come on, man.
He had eight tackles in the game. And he hasn't played any, like, what, 9 months?
Right.
10 months?
And once again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Devondre Campbell, because he's a professional. He's made it to heights that, you know, a lot of people dream of. And he's been in the league for a while. You know what I mean? So there is talent there. But it was shown, like you just mentioned, in the first half, this is what they've been missing. You've been there, and you haven't been able to give Fred Warner and that defense what they've been missing. And Dre Greenlaw comes in there, and immediately you see, oh, this was one of the issues. We didn't have this guy here all year long.
Dre Greenlaw on one leg.
One leg.
Goes one out leg. There and shows you exactly how to play the game.
And look, and that's all right, that you filled in the best you could and you're not as good as Dre Greenlaw. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just saying you're not as good as Dre Greenlaw. That's okay. But to pout and not play whatever your role is for the team on that particular day, that's inexcusable.
Man, to quit.
That's inexcusable.
That kind of sums up the season, I think. Just as, or maybe it's just the cherry on top, but it's just they never got past, like, your point of not being focused on winning.
No. I mean, and it doesn't even, James, you know these things. It doesn't have to be a whole gang of people who have that feeling or who aren't focused on winning. It just takes one, two, or three.
Yeah.
You got two or three guys that are going in the other direction or aren't pulling the rope the same as hard as the other guys, maybe, and it messes everything up. You know, I don't think somebody was talking about Kyle's lost a lot. I don't think it's a locker room issue. I think it's a couple of guys, and it end up being a couple of key guys. I would say four off the that we know of. Ayuk, Trent, Debo, and Devondre Campbell, who were focused on other things. And
I'm going to give Trent and I'm going to give Ayuk a little bit of a break here, because at the end of the day, you as an NFL player, and we saw what happened to Ayuk in week three, he blows out Achilles. And if that would have happened and he didn't have his contract, he never would have got the money he got.
Fair, but so real quick though, like, didn't everybody say like, oh man, the deal was there, I was just kind of sitting on it for a couple weeks?
That's the problem. It's like, that he was fighting for a couple of weeks when he didn't need to fight. And I would say the same thing with Trent Williams. Trent Williams, like, he did extend it, but at the same time, like, Bosa did the same thing.
I didn't even talk about that guy. No, I'm sorry, James. That's another guy. We out here getting a 4-4, and you too damn busy putting a hat on and jumping in. Like, you're not worried about winning. You're worried about something else. That's another one. That's five.
Yeah.
Five people that are worried about something other than the team winning. Sorry.
Hey, look, I'm with you. I'm with you. This was a disaster of a season for the San Francisco 49ers.
We got about a minute and a half. Did the Kings make you feel any better?
Yeah, they won. They won. That's all I asked for. I'm not into style points with this one. Now, we'll talk about it on D-Long KC. I think a lot of people were talking about last night. I think this five-game stretch, this will tell us who the Kings are. And I'm just, spoiler alert, 4-1 or better has to happen. Has to happen.
That's the bar?
Has to happen.
Including last night's game?
No. They got five games in a row at home. 4-1 better or better has to happen.
And what is it? We got Denver, Lakers twice?
Yep. Indiana and Detroit.
Oh.
4-1 or better has to happen.
Yeah. And you know, if it does, you're probably the seventh seed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, where the Kings have missed just by just a little smidge. All right. We've got to get out of here. Jesse is running us a little bit late. I'm blaming it on him today.
We're on time. We got 30 seconds.
What do you got? that's what you guys got coming up tonight?
Yeah, man. Niners, Kings. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Eddie Gonzalez, James Hammond is going to join us as well, man. And it's Friday, man, so we're going to have a good time.
All right. Thanks for joining us here on The Insiders. Jesse Tappy over there has done a great job all day long filling in for Kyle Madsen. I'm James Hamm. We're brought to you by Jiffy Lube. See you on Monday. Got a whole nother show. Talk about more Kings.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.